Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Rocking and rolling for you. As we launch 2006 together, I'm looking forward to spending another year with you. As we enter our ninth year of bringing you the Small Business Advocate Show and all of our Brain Trust members, 500 plus members of our Brain Trust, the largest community of small business experts in the world, probably in the galaxy, maybe in the universe. And one of those guys, even though we haven't heard from him for a while, even though he's been MIA for a little while, is our good friend Ken Grunbach. Some of you who've been listening to the show for a long time will remember Ken, or if you've been checking out our archives, some of the shows that we've done over the years, you may have run across Ken Grunbach, because he's done some important work with us over the years, especially in the area of generational marketing. He's the president of KGC Direct. He's the author of the new book, Common Census, The Counterintuitive Guide to Generational Marketing, and he's our good friend. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
It's good to have you back. We've missed you.
Well, I appreciate that.
And you've missed us, too, right?
Yeah, ultra.
Work with me, Ken. Work with me here.
Yeah. No, I have missed you guys, you know, very much. But it has been a while. I guess it's been two or three years, hasn't it?
It's been a couple of years or so, and
yeah.
I know you went into witness protection for a while, and now you're out on work release. So we're fighting extradition. We're glad to have you back.
You don't know how close you are.
One of the things I missed about you being on the show, Ken, besides your charming personality, and is the discussions that we've had over the years about the generations, the generational waves. Some of the most interesting things to me, one of the most interesting things about the marketplace today is what you explained to us years ago as the generational waves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to talk about today, isn't it?
Yeah, they're probably more significant than ever. You know, it's been 10 years of research. We began the research on the effects of the generational shift in the United States back in 1996, and here we are, 2006. And the generational shifts in the United States are creating more phenomena now than ever. And one of the principal things that we're especially taking a close look at is the relationship of Social Security, health insurance, and the need for blue-collar labor between the ages of 20 and 40 years old. Now, that's
just
related.
Just in case there's somebody out there who's still a little fuzzy on the generational wave concept, let's describe the peaks and the valleys in this generational tsunami that's coming at us.
Okay.
Talk to us about that. Let's
go back to the beginning of the previous century. Between 1905 and 1924, there was a huge generation born. There was a huge number of live births in the United States. There was 56.6 million live births in the United States, but there was also
Both of my parents fit in that category.
Yeah, mine too. Most boomers have parents that fit into that category. Between 1905 and 1924, in addition to the almost 60 million people that were born in the United States during that period, we had 1 million people a year coming here from Europe. So you add 20 mm-hmm. million to it. So what we're talking about is essentially 80 million people in that generation. The generation right after it is a significant generation for a number of reasons, and that's called the silent generation.
Right.
Now, the silent generation was born 1925 to 1944, and there were only 52.5 million people born during that 20-year period. And the significant issue there is that there was no immigration. In fact, people left our country. They went back to Europe.
You know, another way to identify these groups, a lot of times people like to say that the GI generation was the first group you mentioned. They're typically the World War II group, and the silent group is typically often called the Korean War group, too.
Exactly.
It's another area. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, the silent group, which is the smallest generation of the last over 100 years, is was born 1925, 1944. Now, you had the baby boomers, roughly 80 million people, between the ages of, currently between the ages of 40 and 60.
Which we know a lot about, and when we come back, we're going to get into the other alphabet soup of the generations, and we'll get Ken to tell us what all this means to you and me as small business owners, people who are taking our goods and services to the marketplace. 22, we'll be right back with Ken Grumbach. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 1710. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with an old friend that we haven't heard from in a while. We're glad to have him back as a regular member of our Brain Trust, a functioning regular member, not just an archived member. Ken Grumbach, ladies and gentlemen, Grumbach, and he's the author of Common Census, the Counterintuitive Guide to Generational Marketing. And Ken, I believe it's available at Amazon. Is that right?
Amazon.com.
Anywhere else?
No, right now it's available at Amazon.com.
It's brand new, folks, so check it out. And how about your own website, Ken?
Okay, it's KGCDirect.com.
Okay. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Well, you're gonna find, first of all, you can buy the book on my website.
Okay, good.
And it's Common Census with a C, C-E-N-S-U-S.
Right.
A lot of people...
Well, I probably, even though I'm looking at the name and it says that, I may have said Common Sense, and I meant to say Common Census.
No,
who knows?
Did it right, Jim.
Okay, good.
You're aging well.
It's one of those things where you think you're saying it, but you don't say it. But
yeah.
What else can we find at your website?
Well, one of the things that I do, first of all, you're going to see a picture of me.
That's worth the trip, folks.
You're going to hear in the background the sound of my car. You know, I'm still into cars. I just turned 58 years old, and everybody's wondering when I'm going to lose this affinity with cars.
You're just a baby.
Yeah, I know. It also discusses, you know, some of the things that we do, the public speaking that I do, the whole generational marketing demography. Research has consumed me. I mean, there's so much going on.
It's a good thing because you're good at it, and we need to hear that voice. We need to hear this information, and which brings us back to the baby boomers, which is my generation and your generation.
Correct.
We're a train wreck waiting to happen in many ways, aren't we?
Yeah, unfortunately, because so many of us. One of the things that I mentioned in the book is that. Our affinity with credit cards and debt right now, there's about $1 trillion of credit card debt in the United States. Mm-hmm. And baby boomers have most of it. Baby boomers' economy is essentially credit card debt, inheriting money from their parents, and refinancing their houses. You take away those.
Well, now wait a minute, Ken. A few baby boomers have produced some wealth of their own and produce income of their own.
Absolutely.
You make it sound like we're a bunch of deadbeats, Ken.
No, we're not a bunch of deadbeats, but we certainly don't have the same philosophy about
money you're right.
and ethics that our parents.
We're not the ant. We're more the grasshopper.
Well, that's true, but we're not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the generation right behind. Behind us, and that's Generation X, born 1965 to 1984, because there are 9 million fewer of them, and we're going to be expecting them to be paying into health insurance and not using it because they're healthy,
right?
And to be paying into Social Security and not collecting it for decades. But unfortunately, there's not enough of them to do either of those two things.
How big is that generation?
Right behind us, now that generation is probably about 65 million.
I thought it was smaller than that.
Well,
I thought it was only about 30 million.
No, no, it's bigger than that. Actually, the generation, the silent generation is about 30 million, maybe a little bit smaller. You have to take into consideration, too, that immigration to, the actual number of people born when you map it out over 20-year intervals, to make this whole thing honest, if you will, gives you a much better picture. But the Generation X right now, Generation X, again, they're roughly 20 to 40 years old. They are 100% employed, and they're very educated, which means that there's no blue-collar technical labor in that group. And
that's
as the boomers retire, we're in deep trouble with that. Deep trouble.
What do you mean? Well, all right, where's the trouble? Where's the problem going to be?
Well,
where's the pain going to be?
Well, the pain is going to be, one, we're going to have problems getting the types of services that we've been accustomed to in the United States.
Plumbing, electrical, repair work, things like that?
Right, exactly. Try to get your house fixed. Try to get your plumbing fixed. Try to get your car fixed.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's bad now, next time you have something repaired, just make note of the age of the person, of the technician, of the skilled labor that's doing it. Now, I'm not talking about factory work. So one of the things that we're encouraging here in Connecticut, in fact, I'm meeting with the mayor of Hartford tomorrow, Eddie Perez, and we're talking about encouraging middle school kids to reconsider college versus a technical career.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, the entire paradigm, Jim, the entire paradigm has shifted, and the opportunities are now in the technical blue-collar part of our labor force. That's where the money's going to be in the next 20 years. And
you know what else?
What?
Most of those people will be small business owners.
Well,
many of them will work for big companies, but many of them will not.
Well, you want the research on that?
Yep.
Here's an interesting thing. When the baby boomers entered the workforce, they were a generation of 80 million people coming into an infrastructure that was being filled by about 50 million people,
mm-hmm.
which means that there were no jobs. We all know that when we got out of college, we all competed heavily
for
work.
That's right.
Right. So necessity is the mother of invention. Baby boomers opened their own businesses.
That's right.
Generation X comes along. There are more jobs than there are people. What's the incentive to open your own business?
But these people have different attitudes than you and I did. You and I went along to get along. We were a lot more compliant. This younger generation, they're not very compliant. We'll talk about that when we come back after these messages. Ken Grombach is our guest. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're talking about the generational waves that you and I, that is sort of an undercurrent, folks, that you and I might not be paying attention to. It's affecting our lives. Ken Grombach, by the way, is our guest and our good friend, the author of Common Census, the Counterintuitive Guide to Generational Marketing. But Ken, these generational waves they're sort of like a little. They're not all that all that predominant or all that prevalent, I guess I should say, in our minds. But it is affecting the way we live and the way we do business, isn't it?
It never ceases to amaze me how the dramatic effect these waves have versus the awareness of them. In my book, I talk about American Honda motorcycles, the Japanese motorcycles that were so prevalent in the
60s.
The 60s, 70s, and early 80s. And then in 1986, the business
The 305 Dream.
Remember that?
305 Dream.
I had one.
I didn't have one, but I knew somebody who did, and I coveted it.
Yeah. Well, what happened was that once the baby boomer left the demo for buying that motorcycle, which was a male 16 to 24 years old. Once the baby boomer exited that demo, business fell 80%. 80%. It wiped them out. Closed all the dealerships. Well, they're reopening. Why? Because under 20 years old now is another generation. These are the baby boomers' kids. Another generation that is larger than the baby boomers, and they're consuming right now at a rate of five.
Well, they're baby boomers' grandchildren. A lot of them, aren't they?
Well, that's the
if they're under 20.
Jim, the lion's share of them are baby boomers' kids.
Wow, just tailing babies. I just kind of
You want to talk about the second and third marriages and La Vista
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, all
well, but the thing is though is we were talking about where these you were saying that they're being encouraged to this younger generation to go into technical schools rather than colleges, and I was just saying that when they come out they're going to start their own businesses, and you were commenting that maybe that might not be right. I still think I'm right, but you can
absolutely will be right, because one of the reasons that so many baby boomers started their own businesses was out of necessity, because there just simply wasn't any work.
Especially in the 80s and during the period of time when there was so much downsizing and right-sizing, and that's one of the reasons why the unemployment is so low right now, is because people say, you know what, I can start my own business and be successful. I don't have to have a job with somebody else.
Right. But I hate to rein in your parade here, but the generation that's currently finding its way into the workforce is going to create enormous unemployment. And the reason for that is...
Now you're talking about under 20.
I'm talking about under 20. Right now,
yeah.
Their peak is age 14 years old.
Yeah.
And they're finding their way into the workforce. And the way you can see that is going to fast foods, going to, the Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's,
right.
Burger King's, and see who is working there. We haven't seen young in-school kids working in those...
Like me flipping hamburgers as a high school kid.
Right, but that hasn't happened for 20 years, and it's coming back. Why? Well, it's coming back because there is a sea of kids under 20, peaked at age 14. Once they reach the workforce, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see an enormous number of new small businesses opening. And one of the things that the boomers need to consider, all the boomers that are out there that are thinking about exit strategy, is who are they going to sell their businesses to?
Right.
And one of the opportunities is to cultivate these young people that are coming along. And I'll tell you something else, too, about this market that's coming along that's under 20. If you are not thinking about this market for your product in some way,
mm-hmm.
whether it's automobiles or clothing or whatever, if you're not thinking young, then you're not going to be in business.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be one of the best markets, that potentially the best market that has ever hit the United States, because of their consumption levels. They are so high. They are five times what the boomers' consumption levels are in adjusted dollars, age for age. So if you can get in front of this group under 20 with a product, you are going to do very, very well. And they're going to be a wonderful, wonderful work source, because there's so many of them. The competition
right.
is going to be so great that you'll be able to pick and choose the people that you hire.
The other reason why they're going to be more successful, I think, in business, because they're going to have some entrepreneurial curriculum in school, and they're not going to have 20th century paternalistic corporate baggage like you and I had.
Exactly.
So we got a lot more to talk about. Will you come back again real soon? We've got a lot to talk about on this issue, and I'd like to do that over the next few months.
Let's do it.
Thanks. Ken Grombach, ladies and gentlemen. Give us the website again, Ken.
Okay, it's kgcdirect.com.
And the book is called Common Census, and it's at Amazon. Thanks, Ken. See you next time. Happy New Year. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, every generation out there, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.